The two witnesses, when do they arrive on the world scene? I was talking to a friend at work, and he said Jesus could return at any time. And I said, well, we haven't seen the two witnesses on the scene yet. And he said, well, you won't, because we'll be off a place of safety up in heaven before the two witnesses arrive. I'm glad he included me. But and then he went to quote Revelation 4:1. Let's go and see what Revelation 4:1 says, if you'll turn with me there. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. But who is this verse addressed to? My friend said it was addressed to the church, because it was the last time the churches were referenced in Revelation. The first three chapters are addressed to the churches, but all of it was a vision to John. The next chapter does not continue with the message to the churches, but says, after these things I looked. John was given a vision in verse 2. It says, immediately I was in spirit, and he described seeing the throne of God. His physical body was not there. It was like a vision that transported him to see the throne of God. Revelation starts off with judgment of the churches, but then we come to the time of judgment on the world of the end time before the return of Christ. Judgment begins first on the house of the Lord, which is pictured in messages to the churches. If you'll turn to Revelation 11:3, this is when it mentions the two witnesses here. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So it says they'll be here for three and a half years. The return of Jesus does not happen until the end of the 3.5 year testimony. Witness is the word martis, which is a Greek word that meant a witness in the court of law. They are witnesses for the prosecution. We won't go there, but Deuteronomy 19:15 gives the reason why you have two witnesses. The testimony of two witnesses will verify that the world is in complete rebellion against the law of God. At the end of their testimony, court is adjourned. They will be killed, and the world will rejoice. You don't need to turn there, but Revelation 11:9-10 says, then those from the people, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies for 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Verse 15, the seventh trump will sound. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Let's go to Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So saying there, for the elect's sake, he's talking about the true Christians, the ones who know God's truth. So that just goes to show that we will be here when the two witnesses will be on the earth. Time will be cut short to save all their lives. But then if we had to be saved from that, why would that be necessary if we were already in heaven? These are the things Revelation points out must happen first before the return of the Messiah. The area outside of the Temple of Jerusalem will be controlled by non-Israelite powers. That's Revelation 2. Two witnesses of God will fulfill their commission, verse 3, which we just read. The beast power, a counterfeit of the kingdom of God, will dominate world politics, religion, and economics. Now, another friend, when he asked what I was going to be speaking on, I told him about what the other friend said, and he said, well, God would not protect some and allow others to be slain. That would make him a respecter of persons. Well, I thought about all the prophets from the Old Testament, the apostles. What about the answer Jesus gave to Peter when he basically told him he would be a martyr? On John 21:21, you don't need to turn there. But Peter, seeing him, John, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say that he would not die. But if I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? He's basically just telling him, don't worry about John or anybody else. You worry about yourself. Matthew 24:9, you don't need to turn there. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Verse 11, like many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You don't need to turn here either, but Revelation 6:9 through 12. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for his testimony which he held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of the fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. God in his perfect wisdom knows what each one of us needs. He will test us to see what we're made of, but give us a way to escape when needed. So both my friends' arguments are not supported by Scripture. Some will be martyrs, and they will be martyred because they won't be martyred because they're left behind or because God plays favorites. Some will be provided safety, but that does not mean they are better Christians. Many of the faithful all down through time have died for standing up for the truth. But at times, some like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been spared as a witness to those around them. We know this rapture theory to be false and a relatively new teaching, It was started in the 19th century theologian, and is mostly based on one verse in the Bible. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Here are some quotes from a couple of Bible commentaries that shed some light on this. From Forerunner Commentary, how did the teaching of the Apostle Paul ever come to be called a rapture? The answer lies in the translation of the word caught up. In Latin, the word is rapere, from which rapture is derived. Free from any arcane or mysterious interpretations, it simply means to be caught up, snatched, or seized. In the Greek word caught up, I'm not going to be pronouncing this correctly, harpsa sometha, I'm guessing. It's not correct, though. Does it convey a sense of an abduction here? No. It combines the ideas of force and sadness upon the irresistible power of God. And then from Albert Barnes, there seems to be some reason to suppose that some of them believed that those who were dead would indeed rise again, but it would be long after those who were living when the Lord Jesus would return. They thought they would always be in the condition inferior to them. So Paul was trying to clear up a false idea and help these people not grieve needlessly. He was not teaching of more than one coming of Christ at the time of the end, or the protection in heaven from the troubled times to come. Many people may become disillusioned and distrust the Bible when these things do not happen as they were supposed to. Christians will be martyred and others will not be whisked up into heaven for safety. American involvement in the last World War was approximately 4 years. Horrible atrocities took place during the war, and we can be sure more to come in the time of the tribulation, worse than any that any man has seen. But we can hold on to the knowledge that it will last a little less time than the last World War, and then Christ will return. We just have to hold on and keep our hope of the resurrection in the hearts, no matter what we see during the last days of the age of man and the rule of Satan.